You look like the guy from fucking Silent Bob. Jay and Silent Bob. Mother, motherfuck. Mother, motherfuck, fuck. Noise, noise, noise. Smoking blunts. Who got the blunts? You got the blunts.
After years on the road, Timmy parked the van and picked up the mic to bring you this podcast that features interviews with people from hardcore to hair metal. This is Talk To Me with your host, Joshua Toomey.
What's up, guys? This is episode 105 of the Talk To Me podcast. I am your host, Joshua Toomey, and this week's going to be a quick one. We're going to get right into our interview with Billy Milano of MOD and SOD fame. They have a new album out July 7th called Busted, Broke, and American. This is a quick interview, so we're going to play some music and get right into the interview. So make sure to check out everything Talk To Me related over at talktomepod.com. And for now, this song is called You're a Fucking Dick. You're a Fucking Dick off of the new MOD album, Busted, Broke, and American, out July 8th. And we have the wonderful and legendary Billy Milano on the line. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Josh? How you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad, man. The new album's killer, man. I was listening to it all day today, kind of getting ready for the interview. And it's heavy. It sounds great. You know, production-wise, sounds awesome. I mean, it's an all-around great record.
Thank you, man. It was a lot of work, and there was a lot of uncertainty that went into it, from everything from getting rid of old guys, bringing in studio players, and, you know, the whole thought of it actually becoming a band again versus just finishing a record and saying, enjoy the record, you know what I'm saying?
Right. You know, how did you meet the guys on this new album?
Well, here's the funny thing. I was jamming with these two local guys, with the bass player Tim Casterline, who toured with me on the Red, White, and Screwed record. So I used these two guys, Micah Ariano and Mike DeLeon, just to go out and play and have some fucking fun. As soon as it became business, I was like, okay, I know these two guys are good. Are they going to step up and become great? And, you know, they did a good job. And at the end of the day, I felt like I needed more competent players to finish the record, like guitar work, bass work. So my bass player, Tank, came back and finished the record, and the guitarist from the Dead Boys and the Bulimics, Jason Kotwitz, Ginchy, played guitar. And then my buddy Ben sang with me, who sings for Threes Away, and we started singing like duos on the record, and backgrounds all of a sudden. And all of a sudden it became the kind of the formula vocally that I was doing with Rob Machete on De-Evolution. So this record just fell into place and exploded because I had three guys that I hired to play on it could actually play.
So I read in a couple of the interviews earlier too that this could be your last album. Is that a thing?
I mean, I'll put it to you this way, dude. And we're talking honest, and I've always been very honest with everyone all the fucking time. Here's the truth. Do I love the Bigger Than the Devil record by SOD? Yes. Do I think we should have done it? No. Because that record was a legacy record. End of story. I'm proud of the record, and we gave it a hell of a shot, but we shouldn't have done it. That's what a real fan is going to tell you. But that's what I'm going to tell you, too, because it's business. And the business is truth. It's money. It's math. And we should have never done it. This record, is this going to be the last MOD record? I got to be honest with you. I think it is, because I don't think I could do better than it. More importantly, I know I can't do better than it. It was an odd alignment of magical fuck-ups that made this record what it is. And as soon as I try to plan this, to do another version of this, it's going to be a sophomore jinx again on a record. Because this brand new MOD record, for all intents and purposes, rewrites MOD brand new again. I mean, it's been 10 years since the last MOD record. But it's been a long time since I've been, I don't know, aligned up with the graciousness of the industry. The bottom line is I'm still fucking here, and so are they. But now we're colliding structurally. We're going to be involved with each other again. So do I think I can, is the MOD record's last record? I don't think I can beat it. So then I have to figure out a way to propagate it without tarnishing it, which is what we should have done for Bigger Than the Devil.
So listening to the album today, man, it just sounds incredibly heavy, and you know, it's almost like a it reminded me of like a Hatebreed record. I don't take that as a slight, because I think Hatebreed's an amazing band, but like it just sounded heavy and thick and full. And is that due to, you know, modern recording technologies where you can, you know, actually get in there and do some good stuff?
Oh yeah. Hey, listen, I love producing. I have produced more records, everything from demos. I've done a fucking shitload of demos. Bands like New Society of Anarchists, small hardcore bands. I did the Marauder record, Blutality. I produced Agnostic Front, Something's Gotta Give. I've done so many records I've been involved with. Every time I go in and I look at that mix desk, I'm like, what am I limited to here? It's like I can change anything at that point. But which means I can make my voice sound good too. But these days you can get away with that kind of stuff.
Nice.
But in all honesty, I just think that the record, it was just the fact that I was able to go in. And look, let's be honest today. One of the things you got to remember today is that it's no longer cost prohibitive.
Right.
I can go into a studio for 3 hours and go, you know, I'm not getting anything done today. I'm out. And I get charged for 3 hours, basically $35 to $50. Where it is, you used to go in, and to have that 3 hours locked in, you had to put $500 down. The room was $1,000 a day, covers the engineer. And if you walked in and wasted fucking 7 hours, you got fucked in the ass because you paid for fucking 10. You know what I'm saying? The
Absolutely.
Bottom line is everything today is just cost effective. I can go in and pull mixes up in 2 minutes in the middle of someone else's session, and it's the exact mix I left with. Do you know how hard it used to be to go in during a session and say, I need one day. He had to have the whole desk transcribed, all the gear, the patch bay, and get it all memorized. And then they had to strike it and put my mix up all day. That's what it used to take. Today you just hit a button and it opens up a window. So your favorite tits are online every day. I hit the button. Tumblr fucking fake tits, whatever it is. I like fake tits. Tumblr, they're right there. And then my fingertips. That's just like your mixes today. They're at your fingertips. I could go in right now and go remix a song for this record. And they could insert it onto the record if I wanted to. And you know the truth is? I think about that crazy shit. That's how much fun it is. But it's been fun. This record was fun. It went from a disaster. It went from a monumental screw job of pressure to get that record done, which I knew we weren't going to being the record that I've always wanted. It went from being something I despised and fucking hated, knowing I'd never get it done without the right guys, to being the, you know, the cream in my coffee, boyo.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just the way it is.
I saw some stuff where you posted, you guys played Hellfest a couple of years ago, and you got to play the main stage. And are you seeing, like, you know, that I called you an icon and you're a legend, and you're seeing all this kind of coming together, you know, to where people are viewing you as kind of or giving you the proper respects and legendary status that you should get at this point.
I mean. I gotta be honest with you, man. And this is the thing, Josh. I never really gave a fuck.
Right.
It wasn't that I didn't care. It was I didn't have any personal... I didn't have any real desires to want to embody it. I mean, yeah, look. Well, let's be honest here, okay? It's business. When I do it, it's business. You know what I'm saying? I love what I do. And it's fucking fun. And there's a lot of fucking perks on it. Here's some of the things where I don't mind being Billy Milano. I get to go to Europe, hang out and smoke weed and drink with people who I probably will never see again for the rest of my life. And we get to make friends with people in the world. If I'm lucky, I get to smoke a couple Cuban cigars, bang a few hookers and over in Europe. And if I'm really lucky, the next girl that finds me attractive because my record's doing good will have big fake tits, and it'll be easy for me because I can say, hey, you know, I sing for MOD. And if that gets me laid at that point, I'll be very happy. But the truth is this. I never really cared what anyone thought about me. I never really cared about what I achieved. I just cared about the fact that I was around my friends when I did it. Which is why stuff like SOD was disappointing on a reunion, and why stuff like this band that I was in that played Hellfest on my 50th birthday, which is like the most humbling experience in the world. I said to those guys, I'm like, are we supposed to be on this stage? Aren't we like the little tent in the corner? It's like, you know, baguettes and MOD. That's that corner tent. And they said, no, Billy. So to me, it's shocking. I appreciate the fact that people are respecting me. I've always been quite the braggart, but I've always backed it up with knowledge. I will say this. If that's what the people are perceiving, that, hey, I'm getting my just deserves, then you know what? Then thank you. I don't know what else to say other than thank you. I've never really wanted to be famous, but I want to do what I like to do. And I think if it takes being famous to continue making music, I have to be famous then, and that's all it really means to me.
So this new album is on Megaforce. So in your early albums were on Megaforce also. So kind of tell me about your relationship with John Zazula.
Well, that's a really odd question in two ways. I have traditionally had problems with the owner of Megaforce Records, Johnny Zazula and Marcy Zazula, Marcia, John and Marcia Z. They weren't good people. They got caught stealing royalties. We all confronted them on it. And unfortunately, it always was a screw job to get your whatever you were due or get something done by them because they were constantly unfocused and whatever. Oddly enough, why I have a lot of affection and love for Megaforce Records, I have an even more and greater love for Megaforce Records these days. And I'll tell you why. My friend Missy Collazo bought it 15 years ago. She runs it with her husband. They run a group of people called Megaforce Records Trans Dreamer MRI. And they run a bunch of labels. And they're very good people. They're very kind people. More importantly, Missy Collazo is one of the people in the very beginning of Megaforce Records that wanted to do what I wanted to do. Now, when I was working and Johnny Z owned it, I was helping. I was like, hey, you know what? I came up with the name Testament for the band Testament. They were called The Legacy, and they couldn't sign under The Legacy. And then he had a demo he played for me when I handed in USA for MOD, which is 30 years this year. And oddly enough, there's a 30-year anniversary record coming out on Megaforce Records. And he played this demo for me, which was King's X, when I handed in my record. And he's like, what do you think of this band? He's like, it's a terrible name. I'm like, I think it's a great name. It's a very political name, and you have to understand what it means. And so he signed King's X, which was history for that label. But, you know, Missy wanted to sign Biohazard, and we didn't sign him. And I wanted to sign AF, the Cro-Mags, and the Crumbsuckers, and we didn't sign him. So me and Missy had this connection about heavy and cool, and she's like my age, a couple years younger, but she's into the metal, you know?
Right, right.
And I'm grateful for it. I mean, I had no idea it was gonna get a deal. But she bought my whole back catalog, and she put it all out on Megaforce on vinyl for the first time.
Cool, man. So the new album, Busted, Broke, and American, which is very fitting for myself because I do feel like I'm busted, broke, and an American at this point.
Yeah, I
think it comes out July 8th, like we said earlier, on Megaforce Records. You talked earlier about being in Austin, Texas. What took you to Austin, Texas?
I think one of the things I wanted as I got older in life is I wanted to be more rooted. And it's not been an easy transition going from being a musician, touring, and living in an area you're comfortable in, like your hometown, going to a new city, a new state. I give a lot of people respect for doing it. But I just got to the point where I was like, okay, if I get to the point where I want to sit down and I want to have my things about me, my own kitchen and my own table and my own dogs, and I want to have, right. I want to know the food store. I want to know the people locally. And I just couldn't do that and facilitate that any longer in Hoboken. I had grown out of that city. I had achieved all I could achieve in Hoboken. And I just didn't have the youth in me to run around that city anymore. When I first came to Austin, I mean, it was slow. Austin was a slow city. I came into the city. I'm like, hey, what's going on? What are we doing? What's going on? You know, and they're like, hey, man. What's up, y'all? I mean, that's what it was. I mean, it's exactly what you think it is. People from the city are wound up to the point that they need to decompress. For me to talk like the way I'm talking now shows you how much I've decompressed. I basically have become, I've become an Austinite now. I'm 13 years here. But I'm more importantly, I think I've become a hippie because I got a big fucking beard. I like my dogs and bike riding and swimming in the rivers. I eat healthy and I like gardening. I mean, what the fuck? So I think my quality of life and my, I think the joy of my life, which is my animals. I mean, I still enjoy music, but it's certainly something I love. It's not one of my main focuses, even though you might think it is. My family is and my dogs are. But, you know, just to be able to be exposed to that all the time is a blessing, and I'll take it.
Absolutely. It's funny you talk about the Southern accent, because I grew up in Tennessee, and I had a friend of mine move to New York to move to, you know, the Manhattan, Brooklyn area, wherever, and he came back saying that he cleaned up in the ladies, just because as soon as he started talking, like, they were just drawn to that, like, because it was so much slower and it wasn't so amped up all the time. And he said the ladies just came crawling.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I don't think I'll have that problem, but... You know, I wouldn't mind one here and there.
All right, cool. And let's get to one more thing, and I'll let you go. You had stated in another interview that you had seen Minor Threat, you know, 18, 20 times back in the day, and that's one of my favorite bands growing up, but obviously I was a little too young for all that. So kind of tell me what a Minor Threat show was like.
Interesting. Funny stories, backstories. I have a letter I gave. I wrote Ian McKay. He wrote me back. I have the letter still. About my demo. I was playing, singing for a band called Hinckley Fan Club. Some Republican, huh?
Right.
But to be honest with you, I thought that they were athletic. You had to be, look, I like these people pit today like they're doing karate and shit.
Repeat it! Never will I raise my fist in the voice of the new fucking world. You told this, does not exist. It's bullshit. And all your profits make me profit. Good job in a pile of fucking shit. You call utopia, here we go. It's World War III.
Guys, thank you once again to Billy Milano for coming on the Talk To Me podcast. Thank you guys for checking it out each and every week. Sorry for a short episode this week, but it was some technical difficulties, and we will do shout outs for sharing and iTunes reviews and all that great stuff next week. And so until next Tuesday, I am Joshua Toomey, and this has been the Talk To Me podcast.